Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Welcome, everybody, to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be continuing our discussion that we actually started last time, our discussion on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts that are a very, very controversial topic in the church today. In fact, this topic of spiritual gifts is so controversial that it has divided churches. There's a ton of confusion when it comes to spiritual gifts. There is a ton of controversy when it comes to spiritual gifts. And so what I wanted to do was just slowly over, you know, as long as it takes, to discuss this idea of spiritual gifts. Last time we saw the importance of spiritual gifts, and we also saw the purpose of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are divine enablements, divinely given by God to each and every believer, where the Holy Spirit gives a believer a combination of unique gifts that are so specially designed that they are specific and unique to each individual believer, making each believer a spiritual snowflake. You know how there are no two snowflakes that are alike? In like manner, no Christian is gifted, or I should say this, no other Christian, Michelle, is gifted exactly the way you are. You're a spiritual snowflake. We know that every believer receives this unique combination of spiritual gifts when the Holy Spirit regenerates that person. So every believer has spiritual gifts. They are given according to the will of God. We don't earn them. We don't pray for them. They are free gifts given to us when we're saved. And what's the purpose of our spiritual gifts? To serve the body of Christ, for the glory of Christ. We are to benefit, bless the common good. It's for the common good to bless the body of Christ. Meaning that our spiritual gifts are not for our private self-edification, but rather they are to be shared. They are to be used to bless believers. And so last time we saw the importance of gifts. We saw what spiritual gifts are, who gets spiritual gifts, how we get them, and what the purpose of spiritual gifts are, right? Well, today we are going to be talking about two types of spiritual gifts. If you want to write this down, number one, the miraculous gifts. Number two, the ministry gifts. The miraculous gifts, such as signs, wonders, miracles, healings, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, those would fit into the category of what theologians call the miraculous gifts. The ministry gifts are more the ordinary gifts, like what I'm using right now to benefit you. The gift of teaching, the gift of serving, the gift of administration, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy. Those would be fit into the category of what we call ministry gifts. So you have the miraculous, signs, wonders, miracles. You have the ministry gifts, teaching, serving, and so forth. And so here's the hot topic. Are both categories of gifts, the miraculous and the ministry, are both categories of gifts still in operation today? You guys are shaking your head. No, you're correct. Most Reformed churches, would say that the miraculous gifts, if you want to write this down, were temporary. As opposed to the ministry gifts, if you want to write this down, which are permanent. The miraculous gifts, we teach, were given to a specific group of people during a specific time for a specific reason until the canon of Scripture was complete. And once that occurred, we teach that those miraculous gifts have ceased. They were temporary miraculous gifts. However, we teach that the ministry gifts are permanent and are still in operation today, and that every Christian has been gifted by the Holy Spirit to be able to serve the body of Christ with the varieties of ministry gifts the Holy Spirit has given. Does that make sense? Now, you do realize that the vast majority of churches today would completely disagree with what most Reformed churches teach, that the miraculous gifts were temporary and that they ceased. Most churches today would disagree with that. And that's what makes this a hot topic. You just turn on so-called Christian television today, and you will see the exaltation and endorsement of the miraculous gifts. Send us your seed offering, these preachers on TV will say, and we can come in agreement with God, and you can have your healing. Or let me just lay my hands right now on the TV screen, you lay your hands on, and if you have cancer, if you have COVID, or whatever disease you have, I can heal you in the name of Jesus. Have you ever heard some of these guys say that? Or you can see advertisements, promotions everywhere. In fact, there's a big, quote, healing, unquote, crusade that's going to be happening here in South Florida pretty soon, where so-called healers are going to show up and they're going to rent out a large facility, maybe even a stadium, and they're going to promise you that if you show up and if you pay and keep paying, you can be healed. Even those who are paralyzed, they say, can be healed. In fact, they even claim that they can raise the dead, because they say that the miraculous gifts, you know, that the apostles and those closely associated with them performed, these guys today say that, well, if they could perform those miracles back then, believers today can do the same. So they say that the miraculous gifts were not temporary and have not ceased. We obviously would disagree with that. Why? Let's take a look at some scripture, can we? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We are told about the church. Verse 20. It has been built on the, what's that word? Good. Foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Question, Fred. You build something, build a facility, build a house. What's the first thing you lay down? The foundation. And then you build on top of that foundation, Christine. Do you keep rebuilding the foundation, or has it been built once for all time? Very good. You guys are all experts on construction, right? Well, Scripture tells us that there were two foundational offices in the early church. Again, what are those offices? Verse 20, the office of apostle and prophet. They were foundational offices. Christ is the chief cornerstone. It's his church. They were the foundational offices, and it was the church that was built on top of that. Actually, again, Christ is the chief cornerstone. But the apostles and prophets were foundational offices. And as a result, The Holy Spirit, listen carefully, gifted them and a few people closely associated with them with certain miraculous powers. The gift to heal, the gift to raise the dead. Think about what Peter did, what Paul did. The gift to speak in tongues, all that, okay? The Holy Spirit gifted those foundational offices, those people in the foundational offices, with certain miraculous gifts. Why? To be able to authenticate, validate the message they were preaching about Christ. Why did they need those gifts, those miraculous gifts, to authenticate and validate what they were preaching about Christ? I mean, couldn't they have just shown the people what the New Testament said about Christ? No. Why? Because the New Testament wasn't complete yet. So imagine the Apostle Paul going to a pagan place, and he talks about this one, Jesus, who, what? Was raised from the dead? And Paul said, he's the promised Messiah. Well, what do you think the people would say? Paul, how do we know that your Jesus is the promised Messiah? In fact, Paul, how do we know that you're a true apostle of Christ? I mean, there were other guys who just passed through our village last week who claimed to be apostles. Well, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We get our answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Here, the church of Corinth, which Paul planted on his second missionary journey, where Paul served for 18 months. Well, after Paul left, some false apostles came in and said, hey, your guy Paul, he's a phony. He preaches a false gospel. He's not a real apostle. We're the real apostles. And here, Paul has to defend himself. And look what he says to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. He was reminding them when he was with them, the signs or miracles of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs, wonders, and miracles. Paul reminded the Corinthians, hey, remember when I came and preached the gospel of Christ to you? Remember when I told you that I was a true apostle of Christ? Remember how I authenticated, validated the message I preached about Christ by performing signs, wonders, and miracles where the false apostles couldn't do that. So we see the two foundational offices of the church, the office of apostle and the office of prophet. They had been given certain miraculous powers. Why? To show people that they were preaching about the true Christ and that they were true apostles and prophets of Christ. Why? Because the New Testament was not yet complete. Hop over to Hebrews chapter 2. We see another example of that. Hebrews chapter 2, middle of verse 3, talking about the gospel of salvation. The writer of Hebrews says that the gospel of salvation was first preached through whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it was then confirmed to us, the writer of Hebrews and his audience, by those who heard the gospel through Christ. Who were those? The apostles and prophets. And look what God did, verse 4, after the apostles and prophets would proclaim the gospel of Christ, which they had been taught by Christ. God, verse 4, would testify with them their message. How? By giving them certain miraculous powers to perform signs and wonders and various miracles by the gift and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Do you see it? So, we teach that the miraculous gifts were given to a specific group of people. Apostles, the prophets, and some who were closely associated with them. Those miraculous gifts were given to those people for a specific reason. To validate authenticate the message they were preaching about Christ. Why? Because the New Testament wasn't written and complete yet. But once the apostles died, the last apostle, John, right at the close of the first century, which, oh, by the way, corresponds with the last book of the New Testament being written. Once the apostles died and those early prophets, you know, the two foundational offices, and once the canon of Scripture was complete, we teach that those miraculous gifts ceased. Why? In about 45 minutes, the precious Roma gypsy children and Roma adults in the churches there that we planted when Daniel and I were living there for 12 years, actually it was the Holy Spirit who planted it, they're going to pop up on Zoom where they're going to be able to bless you and you're going to be able to bless them. When I used to go from village to village to preach about Christ, and some Roma would say to me, well, how do we know that what you're saying about Christ is real? Did I need to perform a miracle, a sign, a wonder to validate what I was preaching? Very good, Audra. What did I simply have to do to prove that I was preaching about the right Christ? Here, you can read. Very good. You can read this yourself. Do you see it? But in the first century, the New Testament was being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, to be able to show people in various different pagan places that Jesus is the one and only true Messiah and that the apostles and prophets who were sent by him were true apostles and prophets, the Holy Spirit gifted them and a few closely related to them, gifted them with the miraculous gifts until the canon of Scripture was complete. That's why we teach the temporary, or the miraculous gifts, were temporary. But the ministry gifts are permanent. Let me show you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm just going to go through this quickly. But just to give you an example, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11, the Apostle Paul gives a listing of 9 different spiritual gifts. Now, this is not a comprehensive list. I mean, you also have a list of gifts in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. But the bottom line is, Paul gives a list of 9 different gifts to show how the Holy Spirit distributes a variety of gifts to the body of Christ. And in this listing, we are going to see some of the temporary miraculous gifts which have ceased. And we'll also see the permanent ministry gifts. Verse 8, Paul said, "For to one," i.e. every believer, "is given," spiritual gifts are a gift of grace, "for to one Christian is given the word of wisdom." How? Through the Spirit. Word of wisdom. Look at me. What I'm doing right now with you, I am proclaiming God's word of wisdom. Was that only a gift given in the first century, Fred, that has ceased? Or would we say the gift of word of wisdom, the ability to declare God's word of wisdom, does that gift, is that still in operation today? Very good. It's a permanent ministry gift. Let's go to the next gift. To another, end of verse 8, is given the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Word of knowledge. The ability to communicate, again, God's truth. Knowledge of God, revelation from God to the people of God. Fred, word of knowledge. Is that gift still operational today? Sure it is. Now, back in the first century, the word of knowledge could have also applied to the apostles who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were writing down new revelation, the New Testament. We would say that particular gift of word of knowledge has ceased because the New Testament's finished. So when I, who have the gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom, I'm not teaching you new revelation. I'm not gaining new knowledge from God where I have to write now the 67th book of the Bible. No, I am simply communicating to you God's already given word of knowledge and wisdom. Yes? Still applies today. Let's keep going. Verse 9, the gift of faith. He's not talking about saving faith here. Every believer has saving faith, right? So, okay, given by the Holy Spirit when you're regenerated. He's talking about faith. Look, I'm sure you know some believers that no matter what crisis is going on, they have such extreme faith to take that problem immediately to the throne of heaven, right? In prayer. These are people who have been given this faith to not panic, but to pray and praise, right? So we would say that gift is still operational, right? In like manner, I have the gift of faith, knowing that when I'm using my gift to teach God's truth, I have such faith that the Holy Spirit works through the proclamation of the word. I don't doubt that at all. And I know God's word will not return void. Where did I get that conviction, that confidence? Gift of faith combined with the gifts of word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Let's keep going. End of verse 9. Another Christian receives the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. What would we say about that gift, the gift of healing? Very, Audra, you are on top of your game today. Gifts of healing, we would say, are temporary, miraculous gifts given specifically to a group of people during a specific time, first century, for a specific reason. That doesn't mean we don't believe that God doesn't heal. Of course we do. We pray all the time. But I don't have the ability, like the Apostle Paul had, to lay my hands on somebody and raise them from the dead, or heal them of paralysis or cancer, or make COVID disappear. I mean, you guys remember about 2 years ago, these guys who claimed that they have miraculous powers, they came out and they were publicly declaring, Corona is gone. That was 2 years ago. How'd that work out? Because they don't have the gifting. Those were temporary miraculous gifts. Let's keep going. Verse 10, to another, the effecting of miracles. Again, temporary miraculous gifts. To another, prophecy. Well, old prophets in both the Old and New Testament, they were given the ability to speak to proclaim new revelation. They were foretelling. We would say that type of prophecy has ceased. But prophecy can also be what I'm doing right now. I'm not speaking new revelation to you. I am speaking forth already given revelation. I'm preaching. So we would say that part of prophecy, that type of prophecy still exists. Let's keep going. How about the gift of distinguishing of spirits? Fred, God the Son, when he left his heavenly throne, left all of his divine attributes in heaven, and here on earth, Jesus was simply a human. Why are you shaking your head? No, I didn't even finish my sentence. Do you see it? You're able to distinguish truth from error very quickly. There are those who have that gift of discernment, especially when it comes to what's being proclaimed about Christ. And those people are able to immediately say, no, that is not accurate. Dayon, you definitely have the gift of distinguishing your experience. Dayon, just real quick, Jesus didn't atone for our sins on the cross. Rather, he did it in hell when he was beaten up by demons and died and then eventually rose and was born again. Why are you shaking your head, Dayon? Because that's false teaching. That's not from the Holy Spirit. That's from a different spirit. Do you see it? But that's what's taught many churches today. That is heresy. Most people can't discern that. But those who have the gift of distinguishing of spirits can immediately tell that, right? So we would say that gift is still in operation. Let's keep going real quick as I finish. End of verse 10, two more. Various kinds of tongues and interpretations of tongues. We would say those were temporary miraculous gifts. And I'm going to teach more on that as we go through this study on spiritual gifts. Those gifts have ceased. Well, wait a second, Andrew. What about all these churches that claim to be spirit-filled and they're speaking in tongues? Gibberish. Hello. That is not the biblical definition of tongues. Tongues in the Bible were intelligible, understandable languages. that those who had been given that gift, like, let's say, the apostles, they had never studied the language or been taught a language, yet they miraculously were able to speak fluently a language that was completely understandable to the listener. That's the gift of tongues. I know, Guido, you like to say you have the gift of tongues. Go ahead and start speaking Croatian right now. Or better yet, wait until the Roma Gypsy kids come on Zoom in a few minutes. Go ahead and speak Biash to them. You've never heard it, you've never studied, but if you have the gift of tongues, you can do it immediately. And then Christine, what has the gift of interpretation, she'll be able to interpret it even though she never studied it. And that'll prove that you guys have the miraculous gifts. Why are you shaking your head? You can't do it? Of course you can't do it. Nobody can do it today because those were temporary miraculous gifts. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each believer individually just as he wills. So as I conclude, today we've seen the difference between the miraculous and ministry gifts. The miraculous are temporary gifts that have ceased at the end of the first century. The ministry gifts are still in operation. And every one of you as born-again believers has been uniquely gifted by the Holy Spirit. Use your gifts to bless the body. And don't fall into the trap like so many churchgoers today do. They ignore the ministry gifts and they exalt the miraculous gifts. Hello. Those gifts were temporary. Those gifts have ceased. And those people who want the miraculous gifts, why do you think they want them? To exalt Christ or to exalt themselves? Focus on the ministry gifts. You have them, Christian. They're still in operation. And they've been given to you to bless the body of Christ. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.